This is Just Like a Rainbow. You Know You Set Me Free. A Stranger Things fanfic written by Five Centuries Verse and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairings Robin Buckley, Vicky, Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson. With additional tags for POV Robin Buckley, Idiots in Love, Fake Pretend Relationship, Beards Relationships, Steve and Robin accidentally in a pretend relationship. Robin Buckley and Steve Harrington are best friends. Eddie Munson lives, gay Eddie Munson, bisexual Steve Harrington, lesbian Robin Buckley. Vicky is WLW. Steve Harrington has a crush on Eddie Munson. First kiss, 80s music, humor, fluff and humor, sexual humor, inappropriate humor. Teenage humor, basically. Steve Harrington has bad parents. Lesbian disaster, Robin Buckley. Robin Buckley-centric. WLW. Useless lesbians. Bisexual disaster, Steve Harrington. Eddie Munson has a crush on Steve Harrington. Did I mention this was humorous? No, Beta. We're dying like Eddie didn't in this AU. Platonic female-male relationships. Sharing a bed. Sharing a brain. Summary. During a conversation with Vicky, Robin decides to start using Steve as her beard. And sure, lying to her parents is great, and she doesn't mind Hawkins thinking she's getting it on with Steve Harrington. But then lovable, idiotic Steve decides it's a great idea to carry on the lie to Eddie to make him jealous. Robin has had enough of her platonic soulmate being this fucking stupid, but sure, whatever. It'll work out in the end. It always does with Steve. Author's Notes. Title from Just Can't Get Enough by Depeche Mode. I love these stupid gay motherfuckers! I actually don't think there's any content warnings, so enjoy!
We were together, we're walking down the street. I just can't get enough.
Boyfriend is the biggest idiot known to man, which is probably the main reason he's standing here beside her, telling the man who is about to share their bed that... Me and Robin are dating now, by the way. Eddie's face screws up, and he pauses halfway through lifting up the duvet to stare at them, lying next to each other like sardines the way they always do after movie nights. The fact that Steve is an idiot is possibly also the only reason Robin keeps him around, but it's at times like these she wishes she had a time machine so she could go back and tell baby Robin not to apply for a job at Scoop's fucking Ahoy.
Should I, like, go?
Eddie stares at them, still lifting up the duvet so cold air is getting on Robin's thighs. She curls her toes under the shins of the massive fucking idiot next to her.
If you guys wanna...
Eddie, Robin thinks, is probably the only person they should tell about the whole fake part of their relationship.
Eddie, Robin thinks, is probably the only other person in the world who would have even volunteered to be her beard.
And this is Eddie! Who knows how disgusted they get when someone even implies they're in a relationship? Who laughs along with them about waitresses and the kids they babysit and Robin's parents assuming her and Steve are together?
Eddie, who they share a bed with when they're drunk like this,
is the last person they need to start lying to. But for some reason, Steve has decided they need to defend themselves against Eddie! And Robin can only stare at Steve and think,
why him? Why is he your soulmate? No, man. says Steve, like he isn't being a total freak. Don't worry about it. We can keep our hands to ourselves. He shoots a thumbs up at Eddie before nestling down under the covers and closing his eyes. Robin almost shares what the fuck eyes with Eddie before she realizes she's meant to be A-okay with all this and her boyfriend. She tries to what the fuck eyes Steve in a less solidarity way and more of a what the fuck, why are you such a dingus way. Steve, of course, ignores her and keeps his eyes closed. She jabs him hard with her elbow as Eddie awkwardly climbs in on her other side. Steve cracks open one eye. What the fuck? She asks with her eyes.
What?
That's Eddie, man. Wide eyes.
And? Oh, you are so stupid. Don't be rude. Wait.
Can you stop having a conversation? Says Eddie.
I can leave if, like, Robin is signaling she actually wanted to.
No! Says Robin. Never mind. Because Steve is sometimes dumb, and oftentimes stupid, but for shit like this, he always has a reason. Steve's face settles into something satisfied and almost smug. Robin hates it, but he closes his eyes before she can let him know. Frustrated, she turns to Eddie, who is frowning at them both, but his expression clears as soon as she faces him, and he smiles very superficially before turning on the bedside lamp on the bed of lies Steve has made her lie in. Jesus fucking... She hates Steve Harrington, she decides. Not for the first time. Family video, where this whole idea sprung up. Only 2 days before. Robin cannot believe. She has been vibrating on the spot the past 10 customers, and she doesn't know why so many people need movies on a Saturday morning, and they only just left Eddie, and she needs to ask, what the fuck, Steve? At a decibel even Dustin would wince at without people to snap their heads around and stare at her. 2 days ago, Vicky had come in and had said something about looking for a movie to have a date with someone and, like an idiot, or maybe a genius, time will tell, she had grabbed Steve and said, well, when we have a date, we love to watch, and started a very embarrassing long rant about movies she wanted to watch with Vicky, while Steve stared, frozen, at the side of her face. Jesus, he had said after, all stupid sarcasm and being bitchy like always.
All those were dates? You know how to woo a guy, Buckley.
The last person in desperate need of a movie on Saturday morning dings out of the door, and she hits Steve's arm.
Ow, what? Why did you say that to Eddie last night? You lied! And I've got to keep lying, and why the hell did you lie to Eddie?
Well, I figured you were trying to make Vicky jealous, so maybe I tried on Munson.
Several things. Several things Robin needs to think about before she opens her mouth.
One. Eddie Munson and Steve Harrington.
Is she surprised? Only mildly.
Two. She needs to start talking to Steve before he makes these stupid assumptions in his stupid brain.
Three.
She needs to make this not sound pathetic.
Steve, she says, and she thinks she does an admirable job of not sounding annoyed.
Light of my life.
He grins at her, even though he obviously doesn't know where she's going with this, and
God, there's absolutely nothing behind those eyes.
She loves him so much.
Except she knows there is something behind those eyes. Something plotting and dumb and lovely and steely cool calm danger when it needs to be.
You are so stupid.
He frowns at her.
Rude.
Jealousy is not going to get you any. And since when have you had a thing for him? Take that look off your face. I've decided I don't want to know.
She rubs a hand over her face.
Steve, I'm not doing this to make Vicky jealous. I'm doing to hide from the evil pitchfork-wielding mob of Hawkins. And I am doing it so that I can stop reading into every little interaction with Vicky. If she thinks I have a boyfriend, she's either going to stop, and I'll know it was flirting, or she'll carry on and I'll know it wasn't. Making Eddie jealous is such a dumb idea.
Steve stares at her right back.
Fuck, you are the stupid one. I assumed you were trying to make her jealous or finally lost interest because she was totally flirting with you when you started this whole...
He flaps a hand between them.
Fake dating beard thing we've got going on.
She levels him with a look.
She was not flirting with... She asked you what romantic movies you would want to watch during a date,
says Steve. Genuine despair wells in those pathetic puppy eyes.
With her new man? With you! She likes boobies!
The bell rings as someone enters the store.
They shut up and exchange glares before turning to intone, Welcome to Family Video.
To the doddering old grandma, apparently in desperate need of a movie this fine Saturday morning.
Robin narrows her eyes at the side of Steve's head as he reels off movies her 10-year-old grandson, Kenneth, 11 tomorrow, would want to watch at a birthday party with his pals.
He's the stupid one, she decides, as she smiles at his hair and his hands waving around.
Jesus, she's rubbing off on him, and it's kind of adorable.
I swear it's going to work, says Steve. I know how to make him jealous.
You ever thought he's not going to make a move because he doesn't want to fuck up what he believes to be a real relationship between me and you? You ever thought he doesn't know I'm a lesbian, let alone that you like both?
He drums his hands on the steering wheel.
It's going to work. Your plan isn't, because you're not ever going to see her again because she was heartbroken at Family Video, Robin. Family Video! She's never going to be able to face you again, and you won't know if it was flirting or not, because she's probably fled Hawkins. If I was flirting with you and then your hunky hot boyfriend showed up, You are not hunky, she says, eyeing him up and down.
I could be hunky.
He flexes his muscles on the steering wheel.
Ew. Not working for me?
Maybe not.
Try it on Eddie, though.
He hums.
Good idea.
She glares at the side of his head.
I was joking. My arms are hot, just because you don't get it.
I don't have to get it. I know the mustache was a bad move.
I know that is a bad move. You, as a whole, are a bad move right now.
Robin,
he whines. I am getting out of this car. I am going to my room. I am dropping face down on my bed and waiting to fucking die. He slows down the car outside her house and hits her with his pleasant smile, which hides something nasty.
I hope it's painful.
You, she points a finger in his face, are the bane of my existence. He tries to bite her finger, and she yelps and jumps back against the door.
Scram, Buckley, he grins. Look forward to a boobyless, Vickyless life.
Look forward to sad Eddie Munson. I hope he haunts you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you!
He leans over like he's going to smack a big old kiss right on her lips.
Robin, pretend I'm Vicky. Go.
I am getting out of this car right now.
This is why you're sad and have no boobies.
Himok pouts at her.
I have boobies. You love these boobies in a little sailor outfit, you sick freak.
You're sadistic and cruel. Get out of my car with this perky little sailor.
She opens the car door.
Yep, I'm going.
He laughs and turns up the wham.
God, she hates that she loves him so much.
Bye-bye, boyfriend. Bye-bye, girl of my dreams. Mwah!
And he's pulling out of her drive. Love machine and the roar of his engine disappearing down the street.
He's such an idiot.
Steve, after only a little cajoling, had also allowed her to tell her parents he was her boyfriend, even though it means they're both going to have to endure a meal of meet the parents, even though her parents have met Steve on several occasions and have believed them to be together for almost a year.
How's that boyfriend of yours?
Says her mom over the sprouts, practically glowing.
He's great,
she says through a mouthful of mashed potato. Such a nice boy, says her mom.
When's he coming around for a proper dinner? Says her dad. Not as the secret boyfriend.
He says this with an air of disbelief, like no one had believed for a second they weren't dating the whole time.
Soon. He's got a couple of early morning shifts.
At the job you share, her mom says. Like this is the height of office romance, and not two kids bouncing from Scoops Ahoy and Russian Spies to family video with Keith breathing down their necks at every turn. Robin sighs into her orange juice and wishes, sort of meanly, that she was Steve in his big empty house, no parents. Bites back the thought immediately because she loves her parents even when they're at their most irritating, and she hates the look on Steve's face when he says they won't be back for a few months. Business trip somewhere. Maybe Miami? The call was kind of fizzy. And even more, she hates the look when he says, sorry, they're here for the weekend. And his nose pinches up and she wants to smooth it away. Eddie holds up the beers.
I hope I'm not interrupting date night,
he says, expression anxious. She wants to say, oh no, Steve's an idiot, we're not really dating. Do you want to beat him up or should I? Instead, she says, no, definitely not. I was wondering when you would show up. It might seem like an odd day, but Wednesday is the day they get fucked up. Something about Thursdays is made for a hangover. Something about turning up to work with a hangover feels reckless and like living. He grins at her, and she's not sure she's imagining that it looks pained.
So, how's you and Steve and finally succumbing to all those rumors?
She follows him into the kitchen, wants to scrub the lies off her skin already.
Great. Yeah. Steve's just... Steve. He is that, says Eddie, looking amused. Where's that friend of yours? Vicky, right? Weren't you going to invite her to one of these things at some point?
She's been saying that for months, never worked up the courage, and now she has an opportunity of making it at least appear like she's not saying it in a casual date way. She can't, because Steve has been annoyingly correct. She hasn't seen Vicky since the first beard incident, and Steve is convinced she's avoiding Robin.
Nah, maybe soon I need to ask her. Do that. Van kids are always more fun drunks than you're expecting. One time I was drug dealing at this party.
He starts his story, and Robin feels herself getting dragged into it, like you do with all Eddie's stories, because he's just this undeniable presence. She hardly notices Steve's there until he's draped over her shoulders, grinning at Eddie. And Eddie stutters to a stop for a moment before carrying on, sort of half-heartedly. She thinks Steve is a monumental idiot.
Before, this wouldn't have fazed Eddie at all. Steve is all over Robin. Not in that way. At all times of the day. But now, there's this
layer, and it's like a sleazy film of soap over them, keeping them just millimeters apart from Eddie in this shiny rainbow lie bubble. Robin hates it. The night progresses outside, spilling into the pool loungers. Steve and Robin share like they always do, Robin curled into his chest, Steve's hand warm on her back as he holds her close, and she knows he won't let her fall off. It feels less genuine, though. And she sees Eddie's eyes on her hand, which she can't put anywhere else but Steve's chest, and she knows that Steve doesn't have to pull this stupid shit. Eddie doesn't need to be jealous. Eddie likes Steve. Robin doesn't know when she's going to get Steve to realize he doesn't have to prove things like this through weird tests and lies and devious little schemes which never work. People like Steve. She doesn't know why he can't just believe it for once, at least. When her arm is starting to get pins and needles from lying on her side, and even Steve's warmth can't get her to stay, she suggests heading back inside for something better, stronger, than beer. Eddie immediately agrees in a way that makes her feel filthy, like he can't get through this, seeing her and Steve together, sober. They pour vodka and orange juice, because Steve always forgets mixers, and vodka orange is pretty good in a pinch, and sprawl around Steve's living room. This feels better, because Robin lies down in an armchair with her legs over the arm, and she watches the boys curl up on the sofa opposite her, their legs almost touching. And she thinks she can almost see the way they fit, like seeing cogs clicking together and going, "Oh, that's how this machine works." Because Eddie is looking at Steve like he's something precious, as he almost spills orange juice all over the fancy white couch his mother never sees. And Steve is staring at Eddie as he talks about Black Sabbath and rates Steve's mix like he's saying the most interesting thing in the world. Robin doesn't know how she missed it. In conclusion, you suck, says Eddie. And Wham sucks. Robin used to have a board back at Scoops Ahoy where she'd mark down all my failures to get with the girls that came in, says Steve morosely. Like he wasn't just staring at Eddie calling his taste in everything pure shit, like someone who was telling him they liked his eyes and thought his hair was cool. The "you suck" column had all the tallies. "Too right," she says. "Eddie, how do you feel about Steve pulling out of my drive listening to Wham's Love Machine at full volume?" Eddie starts laughing, but there's an edge to it that makes Robin feel wrong-footed. "I think it's your sacred duty as his girlfriend to cure him, Buckley." The way he says "girlfriend" feels like a weapon aimed at himself. She catches Steve's eye, and he looks a little confused, because bless his heart, he really thought this plan was going to work. She drinks her drink, which is definitely more than a double, and he can't pour for shit, and tries not to blurt out, "We're not dating," even though she thinks she should, because this is maybe not a conversation for drunk people, and she thinks Eddie is going to be hurt by the fact that they thought they had to hide from him. Him, who has become their third in this platonic throuple whatever ever since they killed Vecna. And she knows Steve won't reveal his stupid plan to Eddie. And anyway, conversations like those are for bathroom floors. "Put some Wham on, Steve," she says, grinning like maybe it will look real. "No, no," says Eddie, raising a warning finger. Steve jumps up. "I've definitely got some around here." "Steve, no. Please." "Steve, yes." "Steve, yes," Steve agrees. And he's starting to giggle like he does when he's drunk and mischievous. And Robin wishes sometimes she was in love with him so she could walk around town and say, "Steve Harrington is my boyfriend," and it be true. Eddie jumps up and grabs him around the waist. "No." "Wham! Kerblam!" says Steve, wriggling and nonsensically drunk. Robin can hardly breathe, she's laughing so much. "I'm putting her on." "Absolutely not," He lifts Steve up and plonks him down on the couch, grinning, hair in his mouth.
We are not doing Wham.
Stop, I've got a stitch.
I am going to get up,
says Steve after a moment of trying to heave himself in some direction which isn't entirely obvious,
and I am going to put on 1983's Fantastic, one of the best albums to... Do not finish that sentence.
Eddie is moving like a goalie or something in front of the boombox, and Robin's vision is getting blurred from tears.
One of the best albums of the year. Nay, the decade.
Steve is slurring and triumphant as he gets up and immediately falls back down on the sofa.
Now Eddie is scream laughing, and he can't stand up anymore, and Robin thinks she's in actual danger of death right now,
and all the tangle of lies seems lost in a golden drunk haze.
Then she's on the floor for some reason, but I didn't spill any of my drink!
She holds it victoriously aloft while still lying on the floor, and when she tips her head back so the top of her skull is on the floor and the room is spinning more than a little, she can see Eddie's red and breathless face from where he is crouched on the floor on the other side of the coffee table. They make eye contact, and his cackling goes so high-pitched, Robin thinks he might actually be able to echolocate shit, which is a hilarious idea that makes her start laughing again, and her chest hurts.
Somewhere above her, Steve shouts,
I stood up!
She can't even see him until he's on the ground as well, and she can see him underneath the coffee table.
I've not stood up,
he says, pouting. Somehow, they make it upstairs, and they're tugging in different directions, and people want to go to the toilet, but Steve won't let either of them go, and he's dragging them up and down the upstairs corridor, saying,
Toilet! Bed! Toilet! Bed! Someone make a decision!
She has a ludicrous flash of memory of the boys both facing the opposite way. Steve pissing in the guest bath that never gets used, and Eddie pissing in the guest sink that never gets used, and she's squatting over the bowl, but then there's no toilet paper. When they're in Steve's bed, he has them both grabbed under his arms, and he's singing loudly, Love Machine, until Eddie hits him.
Don't you guys want to have drunk sex?
Says Eddie suddenly and wildly, sitting up.
I should totally... Oh, we totally should,
says Steve.
Come on, Eddie, come here. What? Are you guys already that bored in your relationship you need a third party? Are you guys trying to get me sexually involved in your relationship? Were you trying to do that the whole time?
Yes, says Steve.
No.
Well, Steve is, Robin amends, before she remembers she's not meant to say that, and claps a hand over her mouth. Steve slaps her.
Bedtime! You want to have a threesome with me and Robin,
says Eddie to Steve.
Not with Robin,
says Steve. Then he snaps his fingers.
Wait, no, she's my girlfriend. Yes, Robin, get those perky... Okay, let's not do that.
Someone turned out the light. She remembers Steve humming Club Tropicana by Wham.
She despairs that she knows that song from humming now, out of tune drunk humming at that.
And Eddie giggling and slapping him, and then Steve laughing, and Robin probably fell asleep, or at least doesn't remember much else. When she wakes up, Eddie is looking at her over Steve's chest with confused, possibly partly still drunk, definitely hungover eyes.
Which parts of last night actually happened? Did I really piss in a sink?
He asks, voice croaky.
Jesus, what the fuck was I doing last night?
Robin starts giggling. Remember I fell out of my chair and Steve was trying to get up to put Wham on, but he couldn't stand, and you were properly screaming laughing? Eddie claps a hand over his face.
Oh, I definitely pissed in a sink.
Steve pissed in the bath.
That sets them both off giggling, and Steve wakes up all groggy and, huh? Who's there? And Robin thinks maybe she loves Wednesdays and Thursday hangovers and her stupid boys.
You need to tell Eddie,
she hisses over their Thursday hangover diner meal before work, while Eddie's in the toilet,
that this is not real. He likes you, Steve. I think he really likes you.
In Steve's eyes, she sees a flash of something that might be vulnerability.
Not today.
Ask me tomorrow.
She and Steve have their usual rendition of "Who do you work for?" with their forks before they start on their stacks of pancakes, and Eddie shakes his head at them, grinning.
I can't believe you spent the whole time in little sailor outfits. It fucks me over every time I try to imagine you sneaking around a military base under Hawkins.
It's not the military base under a mole in the middle of bumfuck Indiana, but the sailor uniforms, says Steve, raising an eyebrow.
You would have loved what those shards did for Steve's ass, she says, and grins at Eddie's blush.
They did great things for your boobies. Steve pats her arm, all commiserating, like her tits hadn't been as good as his, which may or may not be true.
Oh, hey, it's your friend Vicky,
says Eddie, and waves before either of them can stop him.
She didn't flee Hawkins,
Steve whispers loudly, and Eddie shoots them a weird look across the table.
Robin, you look passable for a hangover.
Thanks. She kicks him under the table.
Hi, Vicky.
She smiles as charmingly as she can.
Hi, Robin,
she says, glancing between her and Steve. Hi, Steve, and, Eddie, right?
Hello.
Say Eddie and Steve in creepy unison.
That was weird,
says Vicky, laughing. And Robin thinks she has a beautiful laugh. And Steve closes her slack-jawed mouth with one hand without even looking at her. She loves him so much sometimes.
You should join us for breakfast, says Eddie.
Eddie, on the other hand, can die in a ditch.
We are violently hungover, so not great company, Steve says cheerfully, but feel free.
Scrap all of that. All three of them ditch. Robin would like to be the one to pull the trigger. Vicky smiles at them, and Robin just knows she's too polite to refuse. She slides in next to Eddie, so she's sitting across from Steve and diagonal to Robin.
And now she can't even see straight. Vicky is, like, almost in line of sight.
She stares wide-eyed at Eddie until he raises a quizzical eyebrow. She forgets he doesn't know about her major crush and turns to stare at Steve, who has his arm obnoxiously along the back of their booth.
Have a good night?
Asks Vicky after she's ordered.
Yeah, don't remember much of it,
Eddie laughs,
which is how I know it was good. The bits I do remember?
Weird. Vicky laughs, and Steve nonchalantly closes her mouth again with one hand again, eyes still on Vicky and Eddie like he always has to do this for Robin, and it's a natural occurrence. When they're old and in the retirement home, she's sure he'll do that for her when she's trying to chew her dinner. Steve shovels more pancakes into his mouth, and Eddie looks so fond she might smash their heads together and have done with it.
Yeah, beers and vodka. You should come one time. It's every Wednesday.
He grins, all charming and dumb.
Where's the ditch?
I've been meaning to ask you along for ages, Vic, but it always slipped my mind. You should totally come next week. Vicky smiles, sort of awkward, but pleased.
Sure, sounds fun.
This is when she should have said,
would have said before,
it's a date.
which is sort of innocuous and we're friends kind of vibe, even though Steve told her that was dumb and it was totally undercover flirting. The sentence seems sort of bereft without her saying it, like she's holding it back. And if that's true, her plan worked. And maybe Vicky actually... Robin wants to stage a breakup with Steve right here, right now, in front of everyone. First, though, she realizes, they need to talk to Eddie. And she needs to keep Steve as her beard for her parents. Great! Robin is sure her smile is more of a beam. She wants to lean over the table and say, "Me and Steve aren't dating." Out of the corner of her eye, she can see Steve's smile, which is shocked and amused and happy for her. He's the best boyfriend, and hopefully the only boyfriend she's ever going to have. That weekend, they're all at Steve's house. Because when are they not? All three of them lying on the floor, listening to the Queen record Eddie had bought and soaking up the music, as Eddie insisted it was better from the floor, so you can feel the vibrations. It's warm and cozy, even though they're lying on the floor in Steve's mega mansion of doom, and Steve is talking over the music, and Eddie isn't getting mad at him, but chuckling about Steve's good-natured annoyance over something Destin had done. Robin can't say she's really listening to much, except the way the cadence of his voice melds with the record. And then Steve just says, "Me and Robin aren't actually dating, by the way." The same nonchalant tone he used when he told Eddie they were. "Huh?" says Eddie. "Didn't Robin always say these conversations were best from the floor?" And she and Steve have finally agreed that they should tell Eddie at some unspecified future date, which she honestly thought meant Steve would be dragging this out till Christmas. She should stop underestimating him. "He's my beard," she says, even though it's scary and there's no truth serum. "Oh," whispers Eddie. You thought... "Rob, did you think you had to hide from me?" "No," she says immediately, reaching across Steve's chest to grab his arm. "Definitely not. Never." "That was my fault," offers Steve. I got confused. Wires crossed. Duh. I'm a bit of an idiot." It's sort of a lame and idiotic excuse. Robin thinks anyone would believe it in a heartbeat. "I don't think you're stupid," says Eddie, softly. "Thanks, but I am," he snorts. "Obviously, neither of us thought you'd be, like, a threat to a Robin." A long silence, filled by Freddie Mercury. "That would be pretty hypocritical of me," says Eddie, and his voice trembles. Robin tightens her grip on his arm, even though it's uncomfortable, and she's probably squashing Steve. "I'm gay." Like that wasn't obvious. She loves these idiots. "A gay, a lesbian, and a bisexual walk into a bar," says Steve. And she's never heard him use that word before. He usually shies away from it. She feels Eddie's arm twitch under her palm. "Oh," he says, sort of dumbstruck. She laughs. Can't really help it. "You're both so infuriating." Steve shoots her a flattening look. Quellingly icy. "Listen, Miss Perky Sailor Tits, stop calling me that. Never." Eddie is laughing. Robin reaches up to shut Steve's slack mouth, catches his eye, and smiles. They both look over at Eddie, and Robin thinks she gets it as she sees the freckle in the corner of Steve's lips tug.
They're sitting around Steve's living room.
She and Vicky on one sofa, the boys on the other. Robin feels nervous as she sips her orange vodka, half glances over the rim of her glass at Vicky, her anxious little face peeking out from that ginger hair, that little mouth quirked sideways in an almost smile. She thinks she wants to kiss, like, all of it.
Across the room, she catches Steve's eye, and his expression says,
"Go get him, Tiger."
"How?"
"I don't know. Start by telling her about the fake thing. Duh."
"Right, but how?"
"Me and Eddie could start making out."
"No thanks. Gross."
"Homophobe. This is the last time I ever offer you my help. She likes boobies, Robin."
"Not confirmed."
"She likes you."
"Not confirmed."
"Robin, so help me God."
She blinks back to reality and sees Eddie and Vicky are glancing between them both. She and Steve blush at exactly the same time.
"Platonic soulmates," she says without thinking. "We're like mind-melding as we speak."
Vicky blinks at her.
"Platonic? I thought he was your boyfriend."
"Eddie, let's mix more drinks. Make them stronger and more disgusting than before."
"Oh, totally,"
says Eddie, downing his half-full glass.
"I could do with another drink."
Steve looks so desperately amused and fond. She could kiss him if Vicky wasn't in the room taking up all her kissing powers.
He and Eddie disappear into the kitchen, and she turns to Vicky's confused frown.
"Steve is, well,
you're in love with him," I thought.
"Of course I'm in love with him," says Robin, and realizes it's true. "He's Steve fucking Harrington. It's impossible not to be in love with him. But, like, platonically, with the most capital P you've ever seen."
She meets Vicky's gaze, which is almost dawning on something like comprehension. She can feel unattractive sweat prickling and itching hotly under her arms.
"He's my, beard?"
Vicky blinks.
"You are! Right,
Robin blinks back.
She can hear Steve and Eddie in the other room arguing over what music to put on to get the mood going. She can hear Steve humming Love Machine and then hears him getting slapped. She smiles reflexively.
Vicky smiles back.
"Is that a... okay?" "Yes, of course, I..."
Vicky pauses.
Maybe. Yeah. Both, sort of?"
She cringes.
"Is that okay?"
"Totally,"
Robin says immediately.
"Vicky likes boobies,"
squeals the Steve part of her brain.
She smothers it without remorse.
"Totally cool with me."
Silence. What does she do now? She needs to be Steve. Do something dumb and spontaneous and ultimately dumb.
Careless Whisper starts playing on the boombox in the other room. She puts her head in her hands.
Or she can always count on him and Eddie to do that for her, she supposes. Vicky laughs, and Robin thinks it's like wind chimes, but spectacularly more ugly, and she loves it.
"Your laugh is so cute," she says without thinking.
"God, when is she getting that mouth filter?"
Vicky kisses her.
"Oh, the perfect filter. She can't say anything at all to fuck this up. She's kissing a girl. Admittedly, it's after Steve has kissed a boy for the first time, but she's kissing a girl. She's kissing Vicky."
She pulls back, blue eyes wide.
"I'm not reading this wrong?"
"No, you are not." Robin doesn't know that it's possible to read Careless Whisper wrong.
She's kissing Vicky, and all she can think is, I love you, Steve Harrington. God, she hates him for that. She can hear him and Eddie laughing in the other room, and she's pretty sure they're slow dancing to fucking Careless Whisper while she makes out with a girl for the first time. Beautiful. Her hand is in Vicky's hair. Maybe she doesn't need a ditch, and maybe she can do this forever. Can we come back in yet? Warbles Eddie, like he's trying to make it sound like George Michael so they can pretend they don't hear them if they want. And she loves him. So much, she's laughing into the kiss. She pulls back.
Yeah, okay. Come out, you meddlesome twats.
Sheepish. They appear in the entrance to the kitchen. They're holding hands, and Steve is grinning at her, all mischief. And if she makes a time machine, she wouldn't ever use it, just in case she fucked something up and she didn't end up right in this spot with these people. Vicky's hand still threaded in hers, and two boys smiling at her like they're proud. The end. Author's notes. Steve is my stupid bitch. And you can quote me on that. Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded as a birthday present for Paper Faith. Happy belated birthday. Or it wasn't belated when I recorded it for you, but posting and so on, it is now belated. I'm trying out the new mic for this podfic. It is a Logitech H390, which I got from the clearance aisle at Target. Still kind of figuring things out a little bit. It came out maybe a little spitty. Hopefully I have removed the spit sounds. If you hear them, no you didn't. Anyway, happy birthday, Paper Faith. I was creeping through your bookmarks. I found this story. I like 5 Centuries Verse. You like 5 Centuries Verse. We really love a Robin and a Steve who are both so competent and smart about their own things, and together they take their single brain cell and they slam dunk it into the dumpster behind Family Video. Because that is the kind of teamwork that they are, and I love that. And I love how beautifully 5 Centuries Verse captured that, so thank you for letting me play around in your sandbox and having Plank get permission to podfic. Also, I tried really hard to use Wham! As the intro-outro music because Love Machine by Wham! Is a running theme in this, and I wanted to have the sound so you can fully encapsulate, you know, the why is Steve the way he is? Why is Eddie the way he is? But actually, in this one, I was Team Eddie. I did not want Wham! At the start and stop of this podfic. It just... not to yuck anyone's yum, but Love Machine did not work with this. The music did not want to work together with me, with the story, with my modern sensibilities. Let's put it that way. So instead, for this podfic, we have a cover of Depeche Mode's Just Can't Get Enough by an all-girl band called The Saturdays, which I thought felt very fitting with Robin's POV and the Robin Vicky of it all. So, yay, ladies! Also, I am very proud of the podfic cover art on this. Yes, it is just screenshots, but it is screenshots with the right amount of heart eyes and side eye. Start at Eddie, work your way clockwise around that, and end with Robin looking directly into the camera like on The Office. And that gives you the relationship dynamic of this fanfic. Very proud of that. So again, happy birthday, Paper Faith. I hope this made you smile. And thank you to 5 Centuries Verse for letting me continue to play around in your sandbox and having Blanket permission to podfic. And for everyone else, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day. And when it rains, you're shining down for me. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. Just like a rainbow, you know you set me free. I just can't get enough.